May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning. My name is Kelly O'Connell. I'm your regional canon. There's a little bit of information about me in your bulletin. And I am glad to be here with you this morning, although sorry for the reason I've been brought here, which is a big part of my ministry in the diocese, is to accompany parishes that are beginning a transition process to finding a new clergy person. And that is a big part of the reason I'm here this morning, to meet with your vestry after the service to talk about our next steps together. Although I have to say at the same time, if I didn't know that Chris and Melissa were good colleagues of mine and kind people, I actually would suspect that they had read through the lectionary and gotten to this morning and both looked at each other and said, yeah, we do not want to preach on these readings. So why don't we get Kelly to come and then she can preach on those readings and we don't have to spend the entire week wrestling with them. It was Chris's turn to preach. All right, good. So then I can blame Chris for the fact that I've spent all week wrestling with the propers for this morning. Because if we had hoped to come to church this morning to find something of solace and comfort from our readings this morning, there's not much to be found there. Not from Isaiah, not in our psalm, not in Hebrews, and not in our gospel. All of our readings this morning, I will speak for myself. I find them very challenging. Challenging to figure out what do I take away from them. Where is the good news in our readings from this morning? And so, as I often do, I was kind of thinking back, especially in our gospel, of the context of Luke, the context of Jesus' ministry. The fact that when the Gospel of Luke was written, the church was in turmoil, a lot of turmoil. The word Christian wasn't really even in conversation yet. This young movement, in fact, our presiding bishop is fond of talking about the Jesus movement. It was, in fact, the Jesus movement. People who had continued to hold up this faith, the teaching of this itinerant rabbi who had wandered around for about 3 years, completely turning the world upside down, by the way. Not making anybody's life easier, but actually making many people's lives quite a bit more difficult. The church was in a time of struggle. Time of uncertainty, a time of upheaval. And so it's really not too surprising that we hear Jesus saying this morning, I come not to bring peace, but to bring fire, because the people who would have been listening to the Gospel of Luke were experiencing not peace, but a time of upheaval, a time of fire, a time when indeed families were set against each other. There were those who were living the life of faithful Jewish people as they had, as their ancestors had, for thousands of years. There were those who were following this new way, trying to figure out what they meant. At the same time, everyone was still being persecuted by the Romans. And their life was full of fire, not full of peace. Unfortunately, we would have hoped that maybe we might have learned something since then. But if we think back through our own history, I'm not sure we've learned a whole lot, because the history of the Christian church is full of upheaval and full of fire and full of places of little peace. So where do we go with these readings this morning, especially this gospel from Luke? And I was thinking about the Lambeth Conference. If I say Lambeth Conference, who knows what I'm talking about? A few, thank you. For those of you who don't know, the Lambeth Conference is a gathering of the Anglican bishops around the world every 10 years, about. The first one was in 1867. And with few exceptions, like I said, they've met about every 10 years. World War II interrupted that schedule some. And actually, that schedule has been disrupted most recently twice. The Lambeth Conference was supposed to happen in 2018. And the bishops from around the world were supposed to gather in Canterbury. Except the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, decided at that time to not convene the Lambeth Conference because so many bishops from other parts of the world had declined, said they were going to decline the invitation, that they were not willing to gather with bishops from churches that they felt were no longer living a Christian world, a Christian life. Those would include bishops from the United States and bishops from Canada, some of the bishops from England, some of those from New Zealand and Australia. Predominantly churches that in the Anglican Communion we would talk about being more liberal than the others. And so, fearing a schism in the communion, Archbishop Welby decided not to hold the Lambeth Conference. He decided to spend some time doing some work of reconciliation, hopefully some work that would at least allow bishops to come together in conversation and communion. And so the Lambeth Conference was scheduled for 2020, and COVID intervened then, and there was no Lambeth Conference. So the Lambeth Conference just happened. It just ended this past Monday. And it was rocky, let me tell you. Was anybody following what was kind of happening at the Lambeth Conference, a few people? It started with a really rocky start and people wondering what was going to happen. And some of that rocky start came when the spouses of the bishops, who are normally invited to Lambeth, the spouses of gay and lesbian bishops around the world were not invited to the Lambeth Conference with the rest of the spouses. And that decision actually caused our own bishop, Alan Gates, to decide not to attend. He decided that it was important for him to stand in solidarity with those who were disinvited. And Alan stayed home from Lambeth. Bishop Gale did go. She felt it was important as a bishop of color to be present because there are plenty of bishops of color in the Anglican Communion, but not from the United States and Canada and more of the Western churches. So Bishop Gale did attend. And there was great uncertainty about what was going to happen. And still, I think the cloud of fire, of schism, was hanging over. And there were some bishops around the world who said they were not going to take communion out of protest for the direction that the Episcopal Church in the United States, the Anglican Church of Canada, the positions that our churches have taken. And there was supposed to be a vote to reaffirm a Lambeth resolution that happened in 1998 that affirmed that the sacrament of marriage was only between one man and one woman. And the rumor was that was going to come back up for another vote at Lambeth. So tension was high, and the possibility of division was high, and anxiety was running rampant. And then some amazing things happened. Every morning, the bishops of Lambeth, who had been broken into groups made up of bishops from around the world, every morning those small groups got together for prayer and for Bible study and for conversation. Every morning, those same bishops got together to grow in relationship and communion and community with one another. They heard each other's stories. They learned about each other's context, each other's struggles, the hardships that they faced. The bishops from the United States sat at tables with bishops whose lives were on the line all the time, who lived in places of war and famine and disease. The bishops in other places of the world heard our own bishops speak of their struggle in our country, of the homelessness, of the division, of the way in which they try and bring the good news of Jesus Christ to a country that often feels like it isn't interested and doesn't want to hear it. And those bishops grew in relationship and community with one another. And indeed, at the beginning of the conference, there were a bunch of bishops who sat down and refused to take communion with their fellows. And yet, when the conversation came on that call, that Lambeth call around human sexuality and marriage, one, the Archbishop of Canterbury had wisely decided that voting in that traditional way was probably not going to gain them anything. But what they were able to do was come together and affirm the fact that their contexts were so varied and so different, that the way they lived as bishops in their countries were so varied and so different, that they actually needed to find a good Anglican via media, right? A middle way to figure out how to continue to live with one another, to continue to be faithful to the gospel, to go back to their varied countries and all of the challenges and struggles they faced, knowing that they were part of this astonishing body of faithful people around the world seeking to live into the gospel. It could have been a time of fire. It could have been a time of division. It could have easily devolved into misunderstanding and argument and broken relationship. And yet they figured out a way to be with one another, to respect one another, and to figure out how to still be all faithful Anglican bishops in all the places in the world where they serve. We can easily dissolve into fire and division. God knows. All you have to do is read the newspaper, right? I mean, our country is full of division, full of fire, literally and figuratively. It is so easy for us to fall into that place, and so much harder for us to find the common ground, the place of conversation, the place of coming together instead of division. And I think if we reflect on Jesus' time, what Jesus says in Luke's gospel is making sense, because it was a time of upheaval and uncertainty and division. But I think what Jesus is really doing is inviting those who are listening to him to find a way forward together, to figure out how to live with division, how to live with uncertainty, how to that we understand that may always be with us, because it certainly has been since long before Jesus, and will be for long after we are all gone from this place. And yet I think our invitation is to figure out How do we come together? How do we live in community? How do we be the voice of understanding? How do we invite people together? How do we see the forces of division that are among us, but continue in conversation and continue in relationship? And for me, that is God's invitation to us, is to be those who find the way, those who stay in the midst of the hardship. That's not to say we don't always need a break now and again, but that we return to the conversation, we return to the hard places. We continue to try and build those communities, knit those communities back together, whether they're our families or our churches or our towns or our cities or our country. That's our invitation. I don't have an answer of how we do that, because not everybody has time or indeed any interest in sitting around with a group of people in Bible study and conversation every morning for a couple of hours. But I think it remains that invitation to us, the invitation to continue to find the way, to seek the community beyond the division, to recognize that God remains faithful to us as we remain faithful to God, and that we each have that opportunity to be a peacemaker, to be in the conversation, to be somebody who stands in the midst of that division and invites the healing. Amen.